More verses here in John. John writes a lot about it. I'm going to skip around a little bit. He said, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Not according to appearance. But right, you know what righteous judgment is? Well, I was right on that. No. As he would judge. Righteous judgment is as the righteous judge would judge. Did not Paul said, there henceforth there's laid up a crown for me only, not for me only, but for them that love his appearing. The righteous judge has set up for you and I a crown of life. Okay. And Jesus said, for judgment am I come into the... Wait a minute. See, he didn't bring you into the world to do his job. For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be blind, made blind. In other words, the Pharisees that think they have God will find out they don't have God, and the people that didn't have God, they're going to find out I need God, and they'll see me as God. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. Well, wait a minute. He said, I judgment, I came to the world, but he said, if they don't believe, I judge him not, for I came not, to judge the world, but to save the world. Seems confusing. He says, I came to this world not to judge. He says, I came to this world to judge. Let's read a little further. He that rejecteth me and seeth not my words hath one that judgeth him. You see? The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. He said, I personally did not come to judge the world, but the things I say will. Now, where did I get what I say? I got it from him. Where do you get what you say? You got it from you. You didn't get it from him. When you judge other people, you didn't get it from him. You got it from you. And so he said, I didn't even come to judge the world. I came to save the world. But the things he gives me to say will judge people. For I have not spoken of myself. They didn't say, look at me. I'm better than you. But the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. I'm only speaking what he tells me to say. I didn't come to judge you. I just came to speak his words, and his words will judge you. And I know that his commandment is really life everlasting. Whosoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter, say Comforter, the Holy Ghost is called, will not come unto you. It's necessary that I go away that you get this. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. This is that Spirit of truth. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and see, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world, he didn't say I judged you. He said the prince, he said if I be lifted out, he'll be cast out. He'll be judged. And so he said, I didn't even come to judge you. Judgment is of him. Because the prince of the world is judged. Christ died as sin. See, of sin because they believe not. He died as sin of those who believed him not. He died like a sinner because they didn't believe he was the Savior. He was the resurrection. He was resurrected by the Spirit of God. Because of his righteousness, he was justified. In that in the sight of God, he was not a sinner. They misjudged him. And he was justified with God. And of judgment because Satan was judged of God. So we have the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ was the judgment of the prince of the world and not your judgment, but his. Wow. I don't know if this is too deep for you or not. Sin was not found in him. The grave could not hold him down, but he sent back the Comforter to live in us so that it would lead us and guide us into all truth. He did not give you the Comforter and the Holy Ghost to make you so righteous that you start judging other people. Because you're not there yet either. You know how many people I've seen backslide and go back into the world after them judging everybody else? I'm telling you, you ain't never too old to backslide. They do it in nursing homes. They do it on their deathbed. People give up on God. Paul said, I didn't judge myself. What judges us is the spirit of truth and not the spirit of error. That spirit of truth is in us. And the only one that has the power to judge us is the Spirit of God. Because why? It looks at my heart. And you look at my actions. You don't know what made me act like that. Maybe I shouldn't have acted like that. I probably was wrong. And I'll probably get forgiveness and you'll be guilty. Because I'm going to be sorry for what I did and what I said. And you're going to judge me on what I did and what I said. But God saw in my heart that that wasn't really what I wanted to do or say. But because of what happened, I got out of hand. And I'm sorry, God, that I did that. And now you remember what I did. But you don't know I got forgiveness for it. Now who's in the greater condemnation? The judge who does not have the right to judge. Are y'all still with me? Got a little further to go. God judges us based on our thoughts. See, they said, if a man commit adultery, you know, he's a sinner. He said, I give you a new commandment. If he so much as looks upon a woman, he's a sinner. See, we look at the act. He looks at the thought. No wonder the Bible says how powerful the Word of God is. It's powerful. It's powerful. It divides asunder the bone and the marrow, the spirit and the soul, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You may see what I did, but you don't know what my heart was doing. And you don't know how sorry I am I did what I did. So I've seen many times that we judge others, again, by what they do, their actions, but we want to judge ourselves by what we intended to do. And so the Bible says that we know them by the fruit they bear. But you can't judge them by the fruit they bear. See, we get caught into this little trap here that even it says in one of the Corinthians, it talks about one speak in tongues and one prophesy, said, let the others judge. What that means is let the others decide, was that or not for me? Is this appropriate, not appropriate? Is it, you know, it's not an eternal call. That's judgment. It's not an eternal call. The only one who can make that eternal call is the one who died for my sins. Let's read a little bit more. Don't have much left. Acts chapter 10 and 39. And we are witnesses. Everyone say witness. Witness, witness. Remember when the Great Commission, I send you out to be judges. I'm going to send you out to judge the world. I'm going to send you out to condemn the world. No. He said, I send you to be a witness of me. There's where we go wrong. When you ought to be saying, let me tell you what the Lord can do for you to help you overcome that, instead of condemning them for what they did. We ought to be a witness of what God brought you out of, instead of condemning for what they're in. And ye are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, and whom they slew and hanged on a tree. He said, we saw all this. We were there. Him God raised up on the third day and shewed himself openly. We were there. Not to all the people, but unto these witnesses chosen before God, even unto us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. We were there. That resurrected body was there. We were there when he ate fish. He walked through the door. We were there. We were there. It's so exciting. And he commanded us to judge. Because we were there, and because I saw him raised from the dead, because I got the Holy Ghost, because I spoke in tongues, he commanded me to judge the world. No, he commands you to preach. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. God ordained His only begotten Son to be the judge. He's the mediator, is He not? Between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. And so we realize quickly that in a courtroom, you have a judge, and you have witnesses, and testimonies, and all these sorts of things. But there ain't but one judge, and it's not you. He said, you get to testify. Well, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Lord, I was there when they crucified Him. I was there. I drank right beside Him when He come out of the grave. I'm telling you, it was a glorious day, the day God filled me with the Holy Ghost. You should have seen me before God got a hold of me. That's your testimony. You don't have the authority to do the judging. He called you to do the testifying. And He gets to hear all the testimonies. And you'll win people by your testimony. You will never win them by judging them. Y'all need more room? So He called us to be witnesses and let Him be the judge. So He says in Luke 6 and 37, judge not. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Uh-oh. Ever looked in a mirror? How many of you didn't look in a mirror today? Didn't look in a mirror at all? Yeah, you did. If you drove your car, you looked in a mirror. Hope you did. Next time you look in the mirror, you know what you do? You start judging yourself. I need to fix this. I got two hairs right here. I need to fix that a little bit. I need to fix this, and I need you start judging yourself. Well, keep doing that in a spiritual way. Just keep, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? Oh, inside of me there I know there is no good thing. And when I would do good, evil is always present with me. And start doing that. Instead of saying, you know, that's a wicked man. That's a wicked man. Get the mirror out. And look at yourself. There may be some things you need to straighten up to. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be... I like that, not condemned. How many want to be judged? Nobody. How many want to be condemned? Nobody. How many wants forgiveness? Everybody. All right? Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. You're called to forgive, not to judge and not to condemn, but to forgive. Man, you don't know the internal turmoil that many people go through, the reason they act like they act. And I've said this before, and I'm not saying this for any particular reason, but, you know, a lot of times they'll say, that doctor's got a personality of a fish. Well, his patients made him that way. Trust me. You get burned enough times, you don't trust nobody. Hebrews 10 and 30. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, I remind you, the Lord shall judge his people. You can't judge anything. Therefore, Romans 2:1, thou art, I think that says, inexcusable. Thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgeth. That's pretty plain. I mean, you can't get any plainer than that. You don't have it. Yeah, but that, you might as well shut up because you're judging yourself. You are inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou that judgeth. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doth the same things, plural. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? I'm here to tell you, when you judge other people, you have just condemned yourself. There will be so many Christians that won't make it because they're judges. And all the things they judge other people will come back to them. I think somebody probably needs to repent. I know I've had to, and I still do. Because what a man meets out, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever he condemneth, he also shall be condemned. Whatever he judgeth, he also shall be judged. By the same judgment you judge out shall be judged unto you. So who wants to be judged like you judge other people? You see, the Bible says you can obey in one and offend in another. And that's the thing that burns me up about the law. The same guy that writes me up the ticket breaks it. He writes me up for running a yellow light. He runs a red light and turns left at doing that. And if you don't do that, he shoots too many ducks or something else. You see what I'm saying? So he's enforcing the law on me for running that red light. But he himself got issues too. That's the problem. You become a law and a judge when he is the law giver. The king and the judge. That's what David said. He's my lawgiver, my king, and my judge. I'm sure glad he's all of those to me. How about you? I'm glad he's that to me. And he will judge with his righteousness and his truth, and hear this, with his mercy. Whew. You better thank God for his mercy. Whew. Hallelujah. Because it takes mercy and forgiveness to meet the demands of judgment. We all have come short. So why do you want to judge anybody else? We all have come short of the glory of God. Your righteousness is as filthy rags to him. I don't care how holy you think you are, in your holy estate, you're still filthy to God. And if it wasn't for his mercy and his righteousness that makes up the distance and the span between you and him, you would never make it. But it is because he is the judge, it allows us to make it. He is the mediator. He pleads our case to the judge of the quick and the dead. Oh, Lord, I'm here to tell you as I stop, there is no place in a Christian's life to be prejudiced. And there's certainly no place for justice, you to judge anybody on anything. I will tell you this, that Thursday evening at 6:30, I will be doing a memorial service for Johnny Chappelle. Best I know, he hung himself. He was not a member of this church. He attended here quite often. And I'll tell you this because many of you will not be able to be at the funeral. You weren't in Johnny's shoes. And I understand as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. I'm not the one that says which way it fell. The Bible says no man hated himself. An enemy has done this. An enemy has done this. Johnny sat in my office one day and he told me this, and I'll use this in the funeral. He told me, he said, have you ever had a TV that it would flip? You know how it would do that? And my mom was still going to learn some things I never told her. We lived on 19th Street, one of them big box television, wooden box, you know. And you'd have to get up there and adjust it, you know. When Flipper would come on, it was flipping, you know, and I'd adjust it. And I'd sit back down and watch. It'd flip again and just flip. And it kept flipping. And I'm like, So I went up to that TV, and the reason that dent was in the side of it, it was broke. I'll show you. Quit you flipping like that. Pow! You know what I hurt? Myself. And Johnny hurt himself because his mind kept flipping. He said, my mind flips, Brother Baggett. He said, it's like watching a screen. It flips and I'm seeing something else. It flips, I'm seeing something else. And I guess he just couldn't take it anymore. Who wants to judge that? You got that problem? You got that problem? You have to leave everything in the hands of God. I can't preach anybody in and I can't preach them out. I can't save you and I can't make you be lost. We have to leave judgment in the hands of a merciful God. You say, well, you got your own opinion? I may have an opinion, but it ain't a judgment opinion. And so I'll be doing that. I ask that you pray for me. It's going to be hard on that family. And they ask if they could do the funeral here. As you know, the only one that really attends here is Sister Linda. But she's as faithful as clockwork. And Autumn was here for about 10 years. And I feel like it's only right that when someone gives 10 years of their life, no matter where they're at, that we don't return evil for evil, so to speak. We return good for evil and help them out. I appreciate the ladies that have taken on to cook for them on that day. So I ask that you pray for the family and pray for me as well, because, you know, what people that commit suicide don't think about what they leave behind. You see, he not only hurt myself when I kicked that, it kept flipping, but I hurt other people too. You see, it hurts other things too. And so there's the damage will be left with those kids. So would you stand with me? We're going to pray as we get dismissed. Susan, thank you again for coming. I appreciate you coming. Let's pray for that family. That would be my one request as we pray. And I ask that each of you, I'm not angry at anybody. I'm not targeting anybody but myself. When I preach, I promise you the first person I preach to is me. And you just get what God hits me with. So repent if you need to repent, improve, because we all need to do it. So would you pray with me? God, I pray for this family that is bereaved tonight because of the loss of a man that brought them into this life. There's a family that is destroyed with the loss of a life. And I ask you, Lord, some way, somehow, let good come out of this situation and not evil. And I ask you, Lord, bring that family closer to you through this and not further away from you. And Lord, I ask you also, Lord, to those that are in this congregation, those that would hear this message, help us to be prepared, better prepared to be the sanctuary that we need to be to receive all that you've got. Lord, I want all that comforter that you've got. I want all the spirit that you've got for me, Lord. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit by my judgmental spirit, Lord, and my criticism and things that I shouldn't say or do. Be with us tonight, Lord, as we depart from this place, but never from your presence.